It's all about the journey.
It's all about the journey, baby.
Ain't nothing changed but the weather.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Hey Shooter. I'm your host, Sanati, and today I'm joined by Jake.
Hello.
And Fatima.
Hi guys.
How are you guys doing?
Good news.
I'm good.
Yeah, good. Good.
So I thought of having this conversation on tape because it's something that we're always talking about in the office. Mm-hmm. I'm always asking you guys about your religion and your faith. So I thought it would be wise to, you know, put this on tape so we all learn from each other.
100%.
And so other people get to know, oh, okay, what does it mean when people are celebrating Eid?
Yes.
Or what's that day when you dress
Purim.
All
Purim.
Purim. You see? So I don't offend the next person.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe Fatima, you can start.
Okay.
Tell us what your faith or religion is. And I don't know who or what you believe in.
Okay, yeah. So I follow Islam, so I'm Muslim. And it's a monotheistic religion. It's also one of the Abrahamic religions. So basically, we also follow the Old Testament as well. And yeah, we believe in Allah. So Allah is just Arabic for God. So we only believe in one God.
So I am Jewish. I follow Judaism. So we follow the Torah, which is dating back thousands and thousands of years. And we believe in Hashem. That's his one name. So he's got many names. Mm-hmm. But the one name that we can actually say out loud is Hashem.
Okay,
so I am Christian, and I believe in God and in his son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So I believe in the Holy Trinity.
Okay.
So I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up Anglican. And then when I got to high school, I became born again. Do you guys know what that means?
I've heard of it,
but
I don't really understand the concept, no.
Yeah. So with Christianity, we believe that in order to get to heaven or in order to have a relationship with God, you have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Okay.
So the first baptism is when and you're baptized with water, and that's what they call your christening. And then there's also being born again, which is being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it's more like you choosing and saying, yes, I want to take this as my faith and live it out.
Okay.
So is this done at a certain age or?
No.
So like you choose when you want it.
You choose if and when you want it.
Okay.
Because there are Anglican, there are Christian churches like your Anglican, your Roman Catholic. Those churches, they don't do that whole born again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, born again is more like... I don't know what the correct term is, but you know churches like His People or Rivers or those kind of churches, they're more free-spirited, so as to say.
So is it more like a commitment, like to the religion, at a point where you can make that choice?
Yes.
Okay.
Whether you're young or old, but at the point where you're like, okay, you know what, I'm ready to fully choose this religion and not my parents choosing it for me.
Makes sense, 100%.
Exactly. Similar to a bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah. In Judaism, when you become a man or a woman, but this is normally in Judaism, it's at a certain age. So girls have a bat mitzvah at 12, and boys are 13, and also that's when they become a man or a woman.
Okay.
And they taking on the whole religion, they have to start following all the special holidays, all the holy holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's similar.
Okay. I had no idea girls also had a
the bat mitzvah for the women and a bar mitzvah for the men.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. Interesting. So then I chose to be born again, and that was more me having a relationship with God and so forth and so on. Yeah. So how did you grow up in a Muslim home?
So funny enough, like for me, I've always kind of felt a little bit more, I want to say, loyal to my religion for one reason, because I wasn't born to a Muslim mother. So my mother was Tamil. And then I was given up for adoption, and I was adopted by a Muslim family and brought up as a Muslim. So in my mind, and obviously having learned about Islam and all of that, being like going to Madrasa, which is our Islamic school and stuff, I've always kind of felt that, like, the sense of like I was chosen to be Muslim. So I think that's where like my strong sense of faith comes from. Like I wouldn't say that I'm the perfect Muslim. Like, I don't think any of us can really say that about any religion. But I do think that that's what keeps me like on that path. But yeah, I was basically brought up Muslim. We have, as I was explaining to you guys earlier, like Muslim school that we go to. So generally Muslim kids will go to normal school, come home, like get dressed and stuff and then go to Islamic school. And that's where we learn to like read Quran and we learn all the little like nitty gritty. So before we eat, we say a prayer. Before we go to bed, we say a prayer. So you learn all of those like those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And obviously because the Quran is in Arabic, you learn to read Arabic. Not so much understand it. That's something that like not a lot of people know what it is that they're reading, mm-hmm. which is something that like lots of people then like try to learn Arabic so that you know exactly what you're reading. But there's also the English Quran, so there is like direct translations as well. So yeah.
And do they also teach you why you're doing certain things?
Yes, 100%.
So it's not just okay, now I have to pray five times a day, but I don't know why I'm praying five times.
No, they actually do have like reasons. So like they even tell you like the morning prayer is mm-hmm. for physical beauty. The midday prayer is for health. Like so every single prayer has a certain like meaning and mm-hmm. for something. So yeah, we learn all of that in Islamic school. Yeah.
Interesting. And you, Jake?
So I was brought up in a Jewish home,
mm-hmm.
Not religious. We do like the major holidays, that's the ones we celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a Jewish day school. So obviously, so we had like the morning prayers there.
Mm-hmm.
We had Jewish studies, which wasn't really to do with the religion. It was more on our history. So it was like a history Jewish studies mm-hmm. lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hebrew, where we just learned obviously the language. But yeah, like I used to go to shul, synagogue with my father every Friday. Obviously don't go as much now, as much as I'd like to,
mm-hmm.
Since I started varsity. So I wasn't able to go then, and kind of drifted out of it now. But yeah, I feel like when I was a kid, I didn't really care about religion.
Mm-hmm.
It was only afterwards, probably on my trek, that's when I started doing research into it, and actually started falling in love with the religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you would still choose your religion. It's a part of you.
100%.
Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely. Awesome. And I think also the reason why I would like carry on choosing Islam is because like a lot of people see Islam as very strict mm-hmm. and very kind of rigid and structured.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you've obviously been Muslim and you've been brought up that way, everything has a very logical reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also what would like keep me being Muslim is just obviously my faith, but then also just that like knowledge that like everything that I do is for a reason.
Yeah.
And Jake, you touched on Jewish holidays just now. Which Jewish holidays do you guys celebrate?
So there's probably three major holidays that we celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Rosh Hashanah, which is our new year.
Mm-hmm.
So during this time we eat apples and honey for a sweet new year. And this is the period before our strictest, most holiest holiday. So during Rosh Hashanah, the gates of heaven are opened for 10 days. During this whole period, you are meant to repent for your sins, ask God for forgiveness, ask your friends for forgiveness if you hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then during Yom Kippur, which is 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, which is the holiest day, it's a day of praying. You pray the whole day and you fast for 25 hours. So no food can pass through your lips. You're meant to just be concentrating on repenting, going to synagogue. And after these 10 days, after Yom Kippur, the Book of Life is sealed and your fate is basically sealed for the rest of the year, for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's probably the biggest holiday that I think most Jews actually celebrate, even if they're not religious. And we also celebrate Hanukkah. So this is our version of the Festival of Lights. So basically on Hanukkah, or how the tradition, years ago before, when the temple was still staying in Israel,
mm-hmm.
The one temple was destroyed by the Maccabees. And there was enough oil to last one night, but the oil actually lasted eight nights. So on Hanukkah we light a menorah, which is a candelabrum, is that the word? And
yeah, it is.
So we light eight candles, one a night. So on the second night we'll light two candles, and that's just to represent the destruction of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
We also eat oily foods. It's also a tradition that's come from this.
Okay.
And all the menorahs we put on the windowsill to like display that we are Jewish. We are celebrating our religion. So whenever someone walks past in the neighborhood, they can see the menorah on the windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the two big holidays that we celebrate. We obviously celebrate a couple others, but yeah, those are the biggest ones that my family celebrates.
That's really interesting.
So from our side, we have the three major ones that I think everyone really knows about. So Ramadan obviously is our fasting month. That's obviously where we don't have any food or water from sunrise to sunset every day for 30 days. And then that's like ended off with Eid. So every single day for 30 days. So it's very difficult, not because of the food and water thing. I think more than anything, it's just the tiredness. Because there's more prayers and there's a lot more like that goes into it in terms of like the amount of spirituality that you have to show. I think that everyone really puts their like best foot forward, and it does get a bit tiring because obviously you're sleeping later, you're getting up earlier, like it's a bit difficult in that regard. But the whole purpose of it is that you're supposed to feel empathy for the homeless and for people who are like underprivileged, because like in Islam one of the biggest things is charity. So it's meant to give you that sense of like, okay, this is what it feels like to be hungry, this is what it feels like to like not be able to sleep, like that kind of vibe. And then obviously that's ended off with Eid, and Eid is like the big festival after Ramadan, so everyone just goes wild and eats everything. I know everyone loves getting the like sweetmeats and stuff after that. So yeah, with Eid, like generally the men will go to the mosque, or especially on Eid they have something called Eidgah, which they then go to like a stadium or like a big open field, and they'll all read in congregation, like a prayer. And then when they come home, then like generally the women and men in the family will say like Eid Mubarak to each other, and that's like the greeting. And then like you meet up with your family, like with us, we have like this big lunch with my dad's side of the family, and then for supper we'll go to my mom's side of the family. So it's just like eating just the whole day. And then the second Eid that we have is actually from the Quran. So basically our prophets, one of the prophets was asked to sacrifice his son, and he was really like, I can't do this, and his son said to him, no, it's the word of God, you need to do it. So basically like they on their way to go and slaughter his son, he was stopped by the devil three times, and in each instance the devil tried to dissuade him from doing it, but they pushed through and their faith led them to the point where they were going to slaughter his son. And as the knife like touched his son's neck, God put a sheep in its place. So the second Eid we basically slaughter an animal, so you can either slaughter a sheep, a cow or a goat. And from the animal that you slaughter, you need to give one third to your family, one third you keep for yourself, and one third you give to charity. So, and with a cow, it's seven shares. So you divide it into like two parts you would give to charity, two parts you'd give to your family, and three parts you can keep for yourself, or something like that. And yeah, so the year before, I actually slaughtered my first, like by myself, which was very, very hectic for me. It's a very difficult experience. Like I am very empathetic, so I don't like to see stuff like that. And I just remember being really like I could sort of like feel my self tense up the whole time. And my brother had to like help me, because so the people at the farms obviously are very organized. So they hold the animal down for you, and then you just go, and they have a sharpened knife. There's a whole lot of rules around it as well. So you can't just do it like with any old knife. Like there's got to be proper procedure followed. So yeah, like I went and I had to do it, and my brother had to come and help me because it's so difficult. But yeah, like it was a very spiritual experience. I probably won't do it myself again, but I feel like I had to do it once in my life just to have like that experience of what it feels like. And it is a very spiritual experience.
So but did you choose to do it?
I chose to that time. And then besides the Eids, because I think everyone knows about that, we also have a new year, because we don't follow the normal calendar, we follow the lunar calendar. So our months are even different. So we do have like a new year, it's called Muharram. And we also have holier days during the year. So when Jake was talking about like when your books close and stuff like that, we also have a day like that. Basically, it's the same thing where we believe that there's an angel on your right shoulder writing down all your good deeds, and an angel on your left shoulder writing down all your bad deeds. And on that day, your books will close, and then it gives you like a fresh start for the next year. So on that day, people normally pray and stuff. So when your new books open, it opens with like you doing prayers and you doing good stuff.
Interesting.
So
I was asking about the prophet.
Yes.
Because in Christianity, so we read the Old Testament and the New Testament. 100%. So in the Old Testament, the first book, I believe in Genesis. Our prophet Abraham was about to slaughter his son Isaac. And when he got up the mountain, God switched for a sheep. Yeah. So it's like the same story.
So the Quran, well. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. So the Quran, the Torah, or I can't Torah, remember. Yeah.
You guys read the Torah.
Yeah. Okay. The Quran, the Torah, and the Old Testament are basically the same thing, except mm-hmm. for one major difference in the Quran, which is that we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. We believe that you can't ascribe partners or anything to God. So for us, Jesus is a very big part of the Quran. In fact, he's mentioned more times than Muhammad, mm-hmm. but he's just a prophet of God. We believe like you can't give God like a wife or a son, or like we can't give him like partners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we believe in Mary, like we have her, she's Miriam. For us, Jesus is Isa, Abraham is Ibrahim. Like even the names are very similar. Like even the story. So I know there's, is it the two brothers, Abel and Cain, I think it
yes,
is.
Yeah.
We also have them. It's Abel and Kabil. Mm-hmm. Everything is very, very similar.
Yeah, so yeah. Interesting. Do you also have Jesus?
I think so. I'm going to be lying if I say definitely.
Yeah.
Well, certain he is. I remember learning it somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That he was there. Was mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Abraham, Isaac.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I mean Jacob, Jake.
Jacob, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Yeah.
That's what it says in the Torah. That's the Hebrew version.
Oh,
okay.
Hebrew. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
All in there.
Yeah. For us, I mean, it's the obvious ones.
Yeah.
Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Yes.
And East, around Easter time, when we believe that he died for our sins on the cross. There are countries like where I'm from, Lesotho. Lesotho is a very Christian country.
Okay.
So we also celebrate, say, Ascension Day when Jesus went
okay.
up into heaven. Even Palm Sunday when he got to Jerusalem. All the days in the Bible, they're
mm-hmm.
all celebrated. But not all of them are, say, I can't go to work because we're celebrating this kind of day.
All those other holidays, like proper day, public holidays in Lesotho.
In Lesotho. Lesotho, Ascension Day is a proper public holiday.
Yeah.
And there's another one that I can't remember, but it's also around that time.
Okay.
Yeah. And I always wonder if I can apply for leave here.
I suppose you can always try it, because I mean, it is a holy day for you. It's
yeah.
like
yeah.
it's like us like celebrating Eid, like,
yeah.
you know? It's so interesting that you talk about like the Day of Ascension and stuff, because we also have that. Like we believe that he also like died on the cross. We believe he went up to heaven.
Jesus.
Yeah,
oh,
and we do also
okay.
believe that he's going to be resurrected. It's one.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our major signs of the end of the world,
mm-hmm.
is when Jesus comes down, because we believe that he's going to then kill the Antichrist. So yeah,
that's
we have
very similar,
we
yeah.
have very very similar like backgrounds. Yeah.
Interesting. So now that you guys are so into your religions, do you think you would ever convert? Say if you were to get married to somebody who's not of the same faith, or would you expect them to convert?
It's a very controversial one,
is.
I think. You know, the thing is, love is blind, and I've seen it happen so many times where people meet someone and you're willing to convert for them. But I also think that if you take religion very seriously and it's something that you feel is like a sort of grounding force in your life,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't want to do that very easily.
Yeah.
I know for me, like I know my family feels the same way, is that for us, race has never been an issue,
mm-hmm.
but for us, religion has been sort of a bit of a gray area. Like we always feel like if they're Muslim, that's perfect, doesn't matter what race they are. But when it comes to religion, that's a little bit of like a soft spot, because like it's so different to other religions in terms of like the alcohol and stuff like that. Like
you guys don't drink.
We don't drink at all. Like it's completely forbidden. And like in terms of like pork, for example, it's completely forbidden for us. So we have certain rules in our lives that we follow, and it's very difficult to then like integrate with someone from a different religion for that particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wouldn't be able to then pray in my own house because there would be alcohol in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's very difficult. But if it was obviously someone who understood that and was willing to, like, I wouldn't mind coexisting with someone of a different religion, as long as they understood exactly like what was expected in terms of my religion, because I'll respect yours and you have to respect mine. It would be a give and take. Yeah.
Yeah. But then when, if you have children, when children are now in the picture, that's another chat, because now you want to, I don't know, would you want to teach them Muslim ways?
This is the thing, like Jake and I always speak about this, and I think I've spoken about it with a couple of other colleagues, but in the Jewish religion, I know you guys say that the kids fall under the mother's religion. And for us, as Muslims, they fall under the father's religion.
Yeah.
So like we always make the joke that like a Jew and a Muslim can't get married for that reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I think for me, although like kids would have to fall under the like guy's religion,
mm-hmm.
if I had to be in that situation, because I mean, you can never say never, I think I would want to teach my kids both religions and let them choose.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that that's the only fair way to do it. Obviously, I'd be a bit biased, and but like this is why like I feel like you should go this way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I just feel like I said with my religion, it's just that there's very logical reasonings behind everything. Behind everything. Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing, because if you keep doing something and you don't know why, you're gonna get tired of it.
100%.
Get bored and.
100%. Yeah. And I think just to like have like a final answer for would I convert, I don't think I would, for one simple reason, because despite all the negativity that Islam gets and everything, I've still managed to hold on to my faith,
mm-hmm.
and still be able to like exist in this world knowing that so many people hate Islam and Muslims and whatever,
mm-hmm.
and having faced that, I don't think I'd let it go that easily, because
yeah.
I feel like we fight for our religion so hard,
mm-hmm.
that like when it comes down to it, like we wouldn't just give it up.
Yeah. And you, Jacob?
So, would I convert? Probably not.
Uh-huh.
So the biggest reason is what Fatima said. So in Judaism, the children take after the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So for me personally, I would want my children to be brought up Jewish. I mean, I would never force anything on them, but
mm-hmm.
I would definitely want Jewish children. Yeah, also for like, also similar to what Fatima said, there's so many benefits or... like there's reasons for all our laws,
yeah.
so like not eating pork is for health reasons as well. Not only are we not allowed to because it's actually it's forbidden, but
mm-hmm.
because of the health reasons, we can't eat pork. We can't eat gelatin from the pig's hooves because also health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't eat bacon.
Don't eat bacon. Don't eat ham.
Woo! Same. Never touched it.
Really,
shellfish.
Guys.
Never touched it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shellfish is also like a Judaism.
Yeah, you can't eat shellfish. You can only eat fish with scales and fins.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, 12-year-old me probably would have said, I'll convert, I will marry whoever I want.
Mm-hmm.
But like, as my knowledge has grown over the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
I think I would definitely, because now, so this would be the last generation. If I didn't marry a Jewish lady,
mm-hmm.
then
in your family,
the
yeah.
Jews cut out on my side of the family.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I definitely want to continue that. And
uh-huh.
yeah.
And
would
how
you
simple?
Would I?
Yeah.
I think I'm open to learning about other religions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like right now, I am trying to find myself.
Mm.
You know. Like, I grew up Christian, and it's always been working for me. I know
mm-hmm.
there's a God out there. But there are questions, especially being black,
mm-hmm.
there are questions where I'm like, okay, I don't see where the Bible answers this specific issue
mm-hmm.
for me, you
mm-hmm.
know. I feel like it's too blanket for everyone else, but, like, for me being a black
100%.
Woman type of thing. So... I don't know. It's not a straight up no,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I could be with someone that does not believe in a God,
mm.
in God.
Makes
yes.
sense.
Okay.
Yeah. How you define God and how you worship him and, you know, pray to him and all of that. That's a different story, which I would find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'll see. I'm still trying to learn and
mm-hmm.
see where I truly want to stay.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, how easy is it for a woman to convert and become Jewish?
It's a very, very lengthy process. So in order to convert to Judaism, you have to be probably more religious than a lot of the religious people in Judaism.
Mm.
So you have to keep fully kosher. You have to
mm-hmm.
keep Shabbos. So you're on Friday night, Saturday, you can't watch TV, you can't use any electronics.
Mm.
That's Shabbos.
Yeah,
yes.
Shabbos. On
okay.
Sabbath. Yeah, so you have to have a fully kosher home.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there are like these tests or surprise visits. So people come and check that your house is still fully kosher.
Oh.
Okay, please break down kosher for people that may not understand.
So kosher, also similar to Islam.
Uh-huh.
So it's the way that the cow is slaughtered.
Okay.
So it's the most humane way. So it cuts the main vein.
Yeah,
the main vein in the neck, which kills it instantly. So that's kosher. And it gets kosher food is monitored by someone. So the whole process of it being butchered and then like cut up into pieces, it's monitored by a guy. So that whole process, and then it's kosher. Or, yeah. So.
And then the milk and meat.
Okay, so the milk and meat, you can't mix the calf in the milk of the mother. So you shouldn't, if you consume milk and then you have meat straight after, you're technically boiling the calf in the mother's milk, which is restricted. It's seen as cruel to the animals. So you can't mix those two things. So you have to wait 6 hours, I think 4 hours, between 4 and 6 hours. Before
it to be digested. And
yes.
So if I'm having a cheeseburger, I can't have...
You can't have a cheeseburger.
what if I have the cheese now and then 6 hours later?
So you can have... So what we do is, so the kosher households will have separate everything. So they have a separate milk side of the kitchen, a separate meat side of the kitchen, a milk microwave, a meat microwave. And yeah, so then all the cutlery and crockery will be separated for milk and meat.
Wow.
And then the basin. So normally they would have like a plastic basin which they'll put into their basin. That's to wash the dishes and they don't mix it. Yeah, so that's a very strict rule. It's also, especially when you're converting.
So you probably need a lot of money to be Jewish. To stay Jewish.
Kosher food is very expensive. So it's actually very expensive because of the whole monitoring process.
Same as halal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's very similar.
Very, very similar as well.
Yeah. Really interesting. Like with halal, I used to love halal food back in school because of the weight, because of the spices, and you know. But I never really took time to like learn why is it halal, and then I got to learn. No, it's because of the way that the animals were.
Yeah, it's the same exact process.
Yeah,
and like with us as well, we do have like governing bodies. What's the word? With the monitoring bodies, rather.
I call it the Jewish police.
Yeah, we call it the Haram police. Uh-huh. So basically, what they do is like we've got like Senha, MJC. We've got a few. So very staunch, like very religious Muslims will only eat food that's Senha approved.
Okay.
So they believe that Senha is the most.
I think I've seen a sticker.
It's at the same place on any packaging where the BD
so
one.
The
yes. So you'd normally see the halal stamp there as well. It's normally like a moon and stars. So because Senha was the first like body that was formed for halal purposes, most religious Muslims just like follow them because they feel like they're most trustworthy. And then MJC and ICSA and all of the other ones also, like, they are halal bodies, but I think that it's just a state of mind where some people don't really trust them fully. Because obviously, I mean, you're putting a lot of trust in them to make sure that, like, at the warehouses where they're packaged, every single step of the process, it's not being mixed with anything that has gelatin from like a pig, for example. So even, like, when it comes down to smaller things like gums and... like desserts and stuff like that. Like if you go to Woolworths, we always have to just look at like the back to see if it's got a halal stamp or not. Otherwise we can't eat it.
Do you eat kosher though?
So we actually had this conversation as well because the one day like they ordered from Nando's Kosher and we were like
so expensive.
But that's the thing with us as well. It's so much more expensive.
Yeah.
And we were kind of discussing like, can I eat kosher food and can I not? But for both of our religions, it's the same where if there is no halal food to be found and I am starving, I can eat kosher food. If there is, and I think the same with it's you, if there's no kosher food, you can eat halal food.
As far as I'm aware, if you're kosher, you wouldn't eat halal.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I think, like, obviously, if there's no other alternatives, that would probably be the best option.
Yes.
As opposed to non-halal.
Like, it's, like, the second best after halal kind of vibe. But, yeah, because now, obviously, the Muslim community, especially in South Africa, has grown so much, there's a lot of halal places. So we don't struggle as much as we used to. But even in terms of, like, restaurants that serve alcohol, we actually aren't allowed to even go to those restaurants because of the fact that they serve alcohol. And alcohol is like forbidden completely in Islam.
So don't drink?
I've never drank in my life. Not touched
really?
I know everyone always like has that reaction. Everyone's always like, but haven't you been tempted and all of these things? I have, definitely. I mean, everyone has.
You don't
you don't look religious. I don't know how
yes.
that comes
no,
off.
No, 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 100%. I think like when people picture a Muslim person, they picture a person like with the hijab
yeah.
or even with like the face covering or, but the thing is like everyone is in different states of, or rather different stages of religion, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like to say, and I hate this phrase because I feel like it's such a cop-out, but I like to feel like I'm spiritual and not ritualistic.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm still getting the rituals down. Like it's an ongoing process, but also like within Islam, it's very important what your intention is.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, my intention is to always like keep getting better at my religion in terms of those rituals. But in terms of spirituality and faith and believing in God and believing in like the fact that the Prophet was the last Prophet and all of these things,
mm-hmm.
I definitely am there.
Mm-hmm.
So I might not wear the scarf, which yes, it's wrong, but I feel like it's also a choice. Like
yeah.
I know when I put on the scarf, I want to be like a model representative of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put it on just for the sake of putting it on. So yeah. And I think a lot of people share that sentiment.
Yeah.
Do you have like, so you've got halal restaurants.
Yes.
So do you have like halal grocery stores, like there's kosher grocery stores where you can go there and you know that everything's kosher?
We have halal butcheries. So we don't like have like a grocery store where you can go and buy like just general stuff, because most of the stuff is halal. But we do have halal butcheries, and like we said, very expensive. But yeah. That's basically what's there for us. But there are a few now, and like I said, because the Muslim community is growing so much, we've started getting more and more butcheries opening, and like I said, restaurants are starting to go the halal way,
yeah.
which is great.
Yeah.
Burger King, I know, recently made a lot of their restaurants like non-halal because they started serving bacon,
okay.
and they introduced that new bacon burger.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of the stores actually are not halal anymore. There's maybe one or two that are.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So wait, so does the store have to be halal, or can they have certain items on the menu that are halal?
So that's the thing, again, it depends on the religious level of the religiousness level of the person, because
mm-hmm.
there are some Muslim people who won't eat at a restaurant unless it's completely halal.
Yeah.
And then there's some people who would go to a restaurant that isn't even halal and eat for the vegetarian option.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends. Obviously, you don't want to go to a place where in the kitchen there's contamination, like if there was a bacon product and they use the same knife on that and something else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to a restaurant that isn't halal, you can't like 100% guarantee that that's not going to happen.
Mm.
So yeah, for us, like that's a very important thing. So I try not to take any chances there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are times when like you go out with your friends and like you're sitting down somewhere and you order a vegetarian meal. But even in that, like I always ask, like, do the kitchens like use different products for their vegetarian like stuff? Because now also vegetarianism and veganism is quite rife.
Mm-hmm.
So there is quite a like stringent process in most restaurants where like
yeah.
if you ask them, they'll tell you if they do or don't. And then you can make that decision by yourself, yeah.
Oh.
I remember seeing at Burger King, it said that the meat is halal, but it's not being monitored or something.
Yes.
Mm.
So I remember seeing those signs pop up.
So when they started getting the bacon burger and stuff like
yeah.
that, that's when the body like retracted
yeah.
their certification,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So even if you go to chain stores and franchises like KFC and McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
like McDonald's, all of them are halal, like because it's literally one supplier. So you go to them and like you'll see any of them have the certification.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Chicken Licken, I think to a great extent KFC. The only one that doesn't happen for is Nando's.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a few that are halal, a few that are kosher,
yeah.
but not all of them
not
are.
All of them. Interesting. And Jake, just to go back to the converting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to convert, you have to prove that your home is fully kosher. So this body comes
yeah,
and they
so
do like a checklist thing.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know the exact length, but I'll say probably 4 to 6 years to fully convert.
Yeah.
So I just met this girl recently. She's now fully converted.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling me, I think for her it took 5 years.
Sure.
So yeah, it's a very, very lengthy process.
Mm-hmm.
You have to also have your bat mitzvah if you haven't had one yet, obviously. But like the end result, it's a bit different to like the way I've experienced Judaism and for someone that's converted to Judaism.
100%.
Like, yeah, it's a bit different. Like the shul, going to synagogue, it's a bit different. Yeah, so it's a very lengthy process. Yeah.
That's hectic.
So can I ask you something
yes.
just based on that? Are there gender roles in Judaism where like, how do I put it? Is there like a thing where male are seen as not superior, but like where you only have, like, for example, male priests or male rabbis.
So a male can only be a rabbi.
Okay.
So the male's the rabbi. He can then do the service and shul. The rabbi's wife is a rabbitson, so she can't lead a service.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say they dominate. It's very old fashioned.
Yeah.
So, like the male of the household should be served dinner first, for example. That's like one thing. It's like old fashioned. I wouldn't say that it's excessive where you would see this and be scared away or anything.
But now also, I think it was such a norm that.
Yes.
You know, because even in Christianity, there's certain parts. I think there's a scripture in the New Testament where it says women should not speak in the church.
Mm.
But now there are churches that are led by women because when some people also interpret it, they say it was these letters that were written by the prophets were written in that time where it was forbidden for a woman to be speaking, you know, in church, or forbidden for a woman to be walking around without a head wrap, type of thing. So I think it's a bit difficult with all our religions because it 100%. Was so normal then, and only now we're like, actually.
But I also think that, and I think this goes with every religion, that people tend to interpret the holy books in a way that suits themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this obviously happened in the previous generations where men were the dominant ones, you know, men were the ones who had to work and all of these things. And in Islam, it's actually a very big argument because religious, like Muslims, believe, for example, that women mustn't work. Like they mustn't go out into the working world. They must sit at home, look after kids, blah, blah, blah. But then when we learn about the Quran and we actually delve into it, and like, I mean, I've been doing a few classes to learn like the content of the Quran because I feel like I need to understand it. And they speak about the prophet's wife, and she was his employer when he met her. So she had her own business, she was working, all of these things. So it also, there's that like thing where it's like, okay, you say that being a religious Muslim means that you must keep your woman at home and they mustn't go out to work. But then the prophet, the person that we look up to, his wife employed him initially before they got married. So it doesn't like sit well. And like, I think that's something that's been quite rife actually in the Muslim community, is that women are starting to empower themselves and learn exactly what is in the Quran, so that when they misquote it or when they like sort of come at us with this thing of, oh, you're not religious because you don't do this, we can say, okay, but here's the reason why.
Yeah.
This is actually what the Quran says. Yeah.
And what's the prophet's name?
Muhammad.
Muhammad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hence the name Muhammad being quite widespread in our religion.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I mean, you want to name your children after prophets or whatever the case is. So for us, Muhammad obviously being the last prophet, it's not that he's seen as like in higher regard or anything. It's just that he's the last prophet, so he's given that importance of being the final chapter of spreading the word of Islam, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And how easy is it to convert into
Islam? So Islam is definitely not as difficult as Judaism. I think with us, the biggest thing is anyone who is interested in our religion, they would just go basically to the mosque or to a priest. And we call them mulanas, and they would go and speak to them and say, you know, this is my intention and whatever. They'd have a like conversation about what it entails and all of that stuff, and they would have to start going to madrasa, and which is our Islamic school. So they would then learn obviously the Quran and our prayers, because we do pray 5 times a day. So it's quite a like, it's quite structured process. So they would have to learn that, and then afterwards, the way that we convert is that you say your shahada. So every Muslim knows you actually say it every night before you go to bed.
Okay.
There's basically a declaration where you say that I believe that there is no other God but Allah, which is God, and Muhammad is his last messenger. Basically, that's the prayer. And then once they say that, they're Muslim.
So how long could the process take?
So I would say, I think it depends on how invested the person is. So if the person is going to madrasa like every day, whatever, I think it could be a matter of months. But I think the longest it could take is a year. Yeah. Because I mean, all of us, if I think about like my madrasa days, we learn Arabic and the Quran and everything over the span of like a year. But in that year, it's only like 3 hours every single weekday. So if someone is like really invested and goes every single day and whatever the case is, I think that like a year is more than sufficient. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, what I found actually is that, and a lot of Muslim people actually say this, is that people who convert to Islam are actually better Muslims than people who were born into Islam. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because like you've taken on this religion because of your understanding of it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like this, you don't take like you don't take it for granted because it's now something that you've adopted for yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I don't know, I'm actually even thinking of changing this episode into just talking about you guys. I just enjoy listening to you guys' religion.
Yeah, I think it's, I think with religion there's always so much depth and there's so much to unpack that it's never a quick conversation.
Yeah. Like for Christianity to convert, it takes less than a minute. Like it's literally you in church and okay, well now this is like the born again side of it. You in church and the preacher or the pastor will have an altar calling. So we'll call the people to the altar and be like, okay, if you feel you're ready to give your life to Jesus, just come forward. And then he prays with you and it's done. So then you start going to, it's best that you start going to like Bible study classes. So you start learning about, okay, what the faith is about. This is what it's about and all of that. Yeah. So this, you graduate before you start school.
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Got you.
And then you, you're in school for the rest of your life type of thing. Yeah, so what beautiful thing would you guys like to share with, I don't know, with strangers or maybe younger people that could look up to you one day? Like what, I don't know, what makes you feel like, you know what, my faith is, it's the one?
I think that with Islam especially, despite all the bad rep it gets, the fact that they stole billions of people following the religion that understand it, that have gone through that process of like gaining that knowledge about Islam and people converting still, I feel like that tells you all you need to know. You know, it is actually a very beautiful religion. I think that it's very misunderstood. Like my religion like teaches peace at its core. Our greeting is peace be upon you. Like there's literally, you know, so I think that for me is the thing, is that there's so much of peace and there's so much of serenity within the religion, even especially like when you're praying and when you're like in that sort of mode of like spirituality, you find yourself being at peace with yourself. Especially like for people who like, I know I'm a very anxious person, but when I'm praying, for some reason I'm very very calm, very still. And also I think that because Islam is all about intention, and I think that that for human beings especially is a very important thing, because sometimes you intend to do something for like a good reason and it turns out bad. And I think in Islam it teaches you that if your intention was good, you get rewarded for it. If your intention was bad, you get punished for it. So, and that's a very I don't know, it just for me that sits well. Like I feel like if my intention was always good and I always keep my heart pure, then I'll always be on the right path.
You're so calling that good energy back.
100%. 100%.
Interesting. And I was thinking about it because I love hip hop a lot. And so many rappers from, say, back in the 90s, they are all converting. And I'm just like, I wonder why. I was even reading a book by, I am still reading it, by this guy from Wu-Tang Clan. His name is RZA. And it's called the Tao of Wu or something like that. And well, I'm still like in the beginning, but he's talking about, you know, knowledge and wisdom and all these really interesting things. And that, you know, he it's just really interesting. And the peace and just always being intentional. You know?
And I think that's the thing, is that like I've seen also a lot of celebrities converting. I mean, I think there was Mike Tyson, there was that South African cricketer who also converted to Islam. I think his name was Wade. It became Wahid or something like that. I can't remember his exact name.
Wayne Parnell.
So obviously, I think it goes out into the books again. So obviously, I know, like, I think his name was Wayne Parnell. He was, that was like a Christian name. And then, like, obviously you would need a Muslim name from the Quran. So I think that's basically, it's like an Arabic name, basically. So that's basically what that is about, So yeah, I think that's my the only thing that like I would want to tell people is like don't always like it's believe what you hear. Yeah, it's like when I was explaining to you the meaning of jihad. It's mm-hmm. it's exactly that. It's like when people hear jihad, they think, oh my God, war. Mm-hmm. And what it is actually something so beautiful and so mm-hmm. amazing that it's like it's just basically your inner struggle with yourself mm-hmm. against like committing sin, which mm-hmm. is something so beautiful because it's like literally your internal struggle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's it. Just don't believe the media all the time.
Most times.
Most times.
And for you, Jay?
So the thing I would say is community, which I feel like a lot of people would agree with.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish community, everyone knows everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially in South Africa. And so we also like believe in charity and you should give charity yes. and mm-hmm. where you can. So we got like all these organizations that help like the elderly. So we've got a home for the elderly. We've got a home for the mentally ill. We've got meals for mm-hmm. families that can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Just that sense of community. And even going like to Israel, you can walk the streets on Friday and people say, come to us for Shabbos.
Yes.
They don't mm-hmm. have no clue who you are, but they will invite you for Shabbos if they can see that you got nothing planned. And yeah, just every Jew knows every Jew. So
yes.
Yeah. You guys have experience.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, I think that's something that's just beautiful about the religion.
Mm-hmm. And can you touch on the birthright thing? I think it's one of the most interesting things I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah, so as I said earlier, I was at a Jewish day school,
mm-hmm.
had no real connection to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And then in grade 5, I moved to a mixed school.
Mm-hmm.
Never ever experienced any other religion but Judaism my whole life. So going to grade 5, there was different races, different religion. Mm-hmm. It's quite like a shock to the system. Never experienced that. And after learning about everyone else's religion, which I was very interested in, that's when I suppose I started looking more into Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And then in grade 8, I moved back to the Jewish day school. I took Hebrew until grade 10. And then I started a program, it's called Eisha Torah, which is like a Jewish youth movement.
Okay.
Where they try and teach you about Judaism. We learned really cool stuff, secrets of the Torah, also like history, all these like codes that you can find in our Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose that's when I started exploring more into Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year I went on a trip called Birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Basically this organization pays for you to go on a trip to Israel. It's fully funded. The only thing you have to pay for is one meal a day. So that's your only experience.
Nice.
And yeah, that was probably the best experience of my life. Going to the Holy City, we saw like the Muslim quarters, we saw the Christian quarters, we saw the Jewish quarters. I don't know, like I think I was going to Israel thinking like expecting a war and expecting to be scared wherever I walked, but it was completely different. Like met the most incredible Muslim people there, met incredible Jews, like everyone just gets along. Obviously there's certain places where it's not just going that well, but I think I've definitely been researching more into Judaism since then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think for me, like as I mentioned earlier on, that I am Anglican. Yeah. I was brought up Anglican, and then I became born again, which it's not as, I don't want to say strict, but it's more loose. Like it's just me having a relationship with God, and I go to church on Sunday, and all of that. So the reason why I did that was because I felt as I got, okay, I'm sorry, but I got bored in church.
Okay.
Reading the same prayer every day, singing the same songs, and it's just so, and I was like, okay, I need something that gives me life.
Mm.
So these other free churches, they make me feel like, okay, I feel alive.
Okay.
You know? And because of that, I then made an assumption that if a religion has too many rules, then it's not for me.
Okay.
You know, because I was like, I can't live my life being told if you sin, we're going to cut off your hand.
Mm.
You know, if you do this, like, it's like living in fear.
Mm.
So that's the assumption I took when I looked at, say, your religion or Jake's religion. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many rules. But now you guys have explained that, no,
we do this because of this and this and this.
Mm.
It's not like I'm not being oppressed. You
yes,
know, if I dress
exactly.
like this,
exactly.
it's because I choose to dress
100%.
Like this. If I am not having a cheeseburger with bacon, it's because
I choose it.
I choose to do
100%.
That, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really interesting to be around, you know, people like you guys. And it's a blessing. There's a reason why we are in the same space to 100%. Learn from one another, you know. So it's really interesting to learn that, okay, you know what? This is why this and this is working out, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I think I am going to go and, like, do more research.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... I think I can't ever be Jewish because it's
I
don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. So thank you so much, guys.
It's a pleasure.
It's been very
Cheers.
Interesting. I'm sure we're going to have more of these.
100%. There's
yes.
always more to learn.
There's also a lot more to, like, talk about, even if it's not
yeah.
religion. But, yeah, thank you so much. And
it's a pleasure, Sanat. Thanks for having us on.
Thank
it was
you.
Really fun, actually.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
And that's it. After subscribing to this podcast, please remember to like, comment, and share this episode. Remember, life is all about learning, unlearning, and relearning. Peace and light, beloved.